Thank you, Tim. Sydney, ditto. Thank you very much for your invitation. I'll come another day. I'm an expert. The Premier's given me until the 23rd of September to be an expert in the new portfolio. And when he said, do you realise, Philip, that this was my portfolio and he's now the Premier? And my response was, I'm backing on it. Because him being the Premier and this being his portfolio, I'm sure our mini-budget's not going to be that bad. Honourable Tim Holding, Minister for Water, Finance, Tourism and everything else. David Burns, is it Burns or Byers? David Byers, Chief Executive of CEDA. Distinguished guests, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for the welcome. I received this invitation and they said, Philip, who are you going to send down to CEDA? I said, I'm going. Business as usual in New South Wales. Okay, we're on fire, we're working, we've got a new Premier, a new team, and when it comes to question time, those questions are forbidden. We are a new team, I'm new to the game. I have had considerable amount of experience in particularly Sydney water supplies over many, many years, and I was pleased to and very honoured to accept an invitation by the Premier to take on this most important portfolio. You wouldn't be dead for quids at this time of our lives with what's happening across the country in relation to water. We all have a responsibility and we all have a challenge. And when Tim was mentioning what's happening in Melbourne, I said, we're doing that, but it's bigger. Yeah, we're doing that, but ours is longer. But he got me on the pipes. Our desalination plan, I'll go into that in a moment. We're a long way down the track and it's bigger. I just want to mention that. So the situation in Melbourne is very similar to the situation in Sydney, and we all are trying to meet a very serious but a very challenging problem. There just isn't enough water, and although we're sitting on about 65% in the Sydney catchments at the moment, but that won't stay, and we have to be very, very mindful of the future and our children. And I'm intimately aware of the problems in Melbourne. I have a son at La Trobe and a daughter-in-law, and they constantly tell me what's going on, and I come down here quite a bit just to have a break. So it is a similar problem, and I'd like to just share with you some of the work that is happening and in Sydney and in regional New South Wales, particularly in the urban sector. As the newly appointed minister, and I'm very honoured to be the appointed minister, they gave me... I must tell you this before I get into my speech. I'm sorry for my speechwriter down there. I always... deviate, brand new speechwriter. I deviate from the script. I'm sorry. Just in Sydney, we've really had a big problem, and we've tried to move forward with that. And a lot of the challenges we've had has been from people who really don't understand what's going on, and I'm sure that happens in Melbourne and other places. Whereas we as leaders and you as leaders have a responsibility to not only prepare for our people now, but for our children and our children's children. And I've only been in the job for 11 days, is it? And I've just approved a dam. I love building dams. And I had to go and argue over a dam on the Hunter, and I think this is a good thing. I've been watching this one for some time. 20 years they've been talking about building a dam. If they had that dam in place, with the rain they had last year, it would be 60% full. And we would have gone a long way to drought-proofing Newcastle and the Hunter. So we've got to think about tomorrow. It will rain. Desalination plants are great. Absolutely fabulous. It's new water. But our capacity in Sydney is there. There is storage. We just need rain to fill them up. So what we have, similar problem that you've had, you've got to find new water. And with all the debate that went on, our much bigger than your desalination plant is well and truly on its way. And hopefully in the near future we will actually drink it. There is another industry doing it. This is not in my speech. Sorry, I'll take it out. In my own electorate, BHP Billiton have coal mines. So they put a desalination plant on the mine site. So what they're doing now is extracting from the workings water, which does have some salt and stuff in it, put it into a storage tank, put it through a desal plant, and pump it back into the system. 2 million litres a day that they're now not taking out of the potable water system. That's the kind of thing that's happening right across Sydney. That's the way we've got to get smarter. There is a 1,200 house subdivision happening in my electorate, growing to 5,000. They own the sewage treatment plant and fully recycle the water. Every bit of it on the site, closed system. We've got to get smarter, and that's what has to happen right across the country. I'll now get to the speech. We all realise that we've got water is an essential service or an essential commodity, and we have to do the best with what we've got. I was asked yesterday to let some water out of Menindee Lakes and flood some lake down in South Australia. Any South Australians here? I've said no, because the people downstream and around Broken Hill need the water. It's all committed. We've got to be responsible. We've got to make some hard decisions. Right now is not the right time to release that water. So what we have to do, I know that the lake is at risk. We would love to be able to fix something if we can, but we must ensure that our people, no matter where they live, across Victoria and across New South Wales, they have water for their everyday use, for their industry and for their lifestyle. So that is our responsibility, and Tim and I would take on the same responsibility that I have to ensure that that happens. And I compliment the Victorian Government for the money that they're putting into the infrastructure, because that is the answer in the end, to ensure that the water is distributed equitably and inefficiently as possible. And I did meet with the Minister for Water in Queensland the other day and thanked him for his 10.6 gigalitres. And I'll buy him lunch when it rains, and I'll come up and he can send me some more down. And that will help the bottom of the Murray-Darling Basin if things happen like that. So we have to share what we've got. Well, in New South Wales, we have some challenges. And we've got two key urban plans, because this is an urban forum. We have the Metropolitan Water Supply in Greater Sydney, which I touched on a few moments ago. And we also have the Town Water Supply in regional New South Wales. New glasses, so we'll get used to them. And so today I'm going to talk about both, and I'll begin with the Sydney Metropolitan Plan. Just like all cities, including Melbourne, we've been hit by the drought. We've had some good rain. It spiked. I didn't have a graph. I don't have something fancy. School teacher should have something like that, shouldn't he? He knows that people learn visually, kinesthetically and auditory, so I should have the visual stuff up. But our graph would scare the pants off you. What has been presented to me is that that the cycle seems to be a 50-year cycle in our catchment, with troughs and peaks and spikes about 50 years, because they've been keeping records for a long time up there. And we're 15 years into the 50-year dry bit, if that's right. Okay, so we had 50 years of dry, 50 years of wet, we're back into a 50 years of dry, and we're only about 15, 20 years into it, with a few spikes. So therefore, you have to plan what you need to do with what water you know you've got available to you. And with the added factor of climate change, the unknown, you've got to err on the side of caution. So you've got to conserve what you've got, you have to distribute what you've got carefully, and you have to put infrastructure in place to make sure water now is valued, because it wasn't. Water is a valuable commodity. We all seem to have grown up in a culture where it was just always there and there was no value put on it. And thank heavens that's happening now. We have some of the world's largest storage systems. My back fence actually is on Warragamba Dam. It's a pretty big pond. And we, as I said earlier, have quite good capacity. But what we've done is that we've done quite a lot of work with our dams. And until I had a presentation the other day by a group called the Dam Safety Committee. I didn't know they existed. Scared the dickens out of me. Couldn't understand why we did all the work on Warragamba Dam, which we've done, to make it safe over the PMF, and what that meant. But what we've done to Warragamba Dam and the others is that we've gone and accessed the deep water, and that gave us another capacity of 10%. So we've done some engineering work so that we could actually take the water out of the bottom of the dam when we need it. We've done some structural work to improve the safety of dams, as I said. We've gone into some major recycling programs. I thought ours was the biggest, but Tim says his was the biggest, so I won't make a comment about that one. But we've done some good work in that, and we'll go through that in a minute. So we've got 11 interlinked dams. They're all linked, and we're looking at some major works to actually improve the efficiency of the links so that we can move water from dams to dam, but also we can move water from the Shell Haven, which is an adjacent basin, which we have a dam on that, and we pump from that up into the Sydney Basin, and we're going to improve the capacity of that pumping. At the moment, I think we move 500 megalitres a day, and that's actually topped up Sydney supply for some time, and we're going to probably improve the efficiency of that system. And the only reason we can't go above 500, the water's there because it's going over the top. The problem is it's a run-a-river system, so you can't actually run more water down the rivers without causing environmental damage, so we've got to look at ways of fixing that problem as well. The biggest challenge we've had was to find new water. We had to be a little bit smarter, hence the desalination plant. It's well and truly on its way. They're drilling holes now under Botany Bay and out to sea to deliver and suck the water in. The foundations are down and it's moving quite to schedule. I was also told under budget, that's a good thing. And that will deliver quite a lot of water up to I think 250 million litres of drinking water a day. It has the capacity eventually to supply 30% of Sydney's water. So it's a big one. And it had a lot of controversy over it. The government has ensured that it would be supplied by 100% of accredited renewable energy, so we're investing in other forms of, or getting people to invest into energy, so that becomes, it sort of balances the power outlet. While the conditions have improved, as I said, we're up to about 60%, we just can't be complacent in Sydney because our population is, although the taxi driver told me today that you're going to be bigger than us, we're sitting on 4.3 at the moment. We'll probably grow another 1.5 million within the next round of planning, about 2025, and your taxi driver told me you're going to 8 million. So he told me a lot of things today. If you need to know anything about Melbourne, you catch a cab. So we've got a lot of growth happening, as you have in Melbourne, and we therefore have to plan for the future. And what we have done is that we put together what is called the Metropolitan Water Plan, which has identified a whole range of strategies to do that. And the plan actually measures that we are taking for the Greater Sydney is it's about sustainability, reliable and safe water supplies for the medium and the long term. And the desalination plant was part of that. In recycling, we, like you, people don't want to drink sewer water. So what we've done is the plan that you've got, recycling water for industry, irrigation, flushing toilets, for example, and any watering that might necessary people might want to do around their properties, which I'm on a farm and I don't know why you would water a tree or a garden, but people do, and to save drinking water. So we want people to use the recycled water for that purpose. As was the example in the new estate around my place, 5,000 houses eventually, that's the type of recycling that they'll get. So it won't be potable recycling, but it'll be grey water type recycling, and it'll be used by all those homes. Through the Metropolitan Water Plan, we're working to recycle about 70 billion litres of water per year. Is that more than you're doing? A bit less. We're going to change that plan. It's got to be at least the same. And that will save around about 12% of Sydney's drinking water when that happens. We're encouraging people to put in recycled water facilities for toilets and outdoor usage, etc. We've got two big estates being planned for Sydney. They call them the northwest and the southwest sector. I live adjacent, when I say adjacent, 50 kilometres away, from the southwest sector, and that's going to be bigger than Canberra. Minimum of 100,000 houses in one release. And all of that's going to be recycled. So that'll be a system where the recycling system, that'll happen in the northwest as well. The problem we have is a cultural one. I don't know if you have it down here. It's about getting people to actually accept that there is a problem and understand that there is something they can all do and actually do it. Same as Melbourne, the people of Sydney have responded beautifully. We're in the same category as yourself. Our use is around the 1970s limit with more people, so the people of Sydney have come on board and have actually played their part, and for that we're very grateful. Now, in the second part of our urban management water plans is our regional communities, all our country towns and villages and cities. Across New South Wales, currently we have 106 water utilities, which provide water, sewage and stormwater drainage services to about 1.8 million people. That they are in those regional towns. These local water utilities are almost owned and operated by local governments, and I met with them the other day and assured them that I have no intentions as the Minister to take it over. It made them very, very happy. It also made me happy, because why should we be taking over somebody else's liability? So New South Wales has one state-owned corporation delivering water and sewage to Broken Hill and in the far west of the state. So we in the government, I don't know if we're calling ourselves the Rees government yet, I guess we are, have been instrumental in developing what is called the Best Practice Management of Water Supply and Sewerage Guidelines to drive improvements in the regional towns and sewerage services across the state. And all non-metropolitan water utilities are required to substantially comply with the New South Wales Government's Best Practice Management of Water Supply and Sewerage Guidelines. And the key elements of those, similar to the ones that were mentioned before, but we have half a dozen key elements for our rural towns. One is that strategic business planning and long-term financial planning to make sure that they're viable. They have to be able to make sure that the costs reflect, or the pricing reflects the cost, that they are viable and have other elements built into them, such as improving the infrastructure. Another element is the water supply and sewerage pricing, which I just mentioned, and that may include developer charges, water conservation and demand management, which we all work towards, drought management, because it's the drought doesn't seem to be wanting to go away, and it could be around for a while, so they need to factor that in, annual performance monitoring and, of course, integrated water cycle management, which I mentioned we're doing in the city itself. We in the government supply provide financial and technical support to local water utilities through a program called the Country Towns Water Supply and Sewerage Program, and that's been very successful. To date, we've put in $1.1 billion towards that, and it's provided assistance to 350 projects, directly benefiting about a million people across the state. And over many years, the Country Town Water Supply Program has provided guidance to local water utilities on pricing. And what we've done is, at the moment, is we've run an inquiry across the state. Nathan and the team visited many regional centres and asked for some response to how we could improve what is happening out there. That inquiry report was headed by Ian Armstrong, and I've got the draft on my desk, but it's still at that stage. That will hit my desk in terms of implementation of what we can do about it, hopefully by the end of this year. But I've already brought the local government people in and have had a talk to them about how we can move forward on that, and I'm looking forward to driving that with them. The in relation to that, we had many, many submissions. We've had 17 public hearings across the state, and almost every local water utility made a contribution to that inquiry. So it'll be a fairly comprehensive inquiry, or it has been, and it will also therefore have significant amount of support in terms of stakeholder involvement, and that's a very important part of what we need to do. We don't want to hand things from the top, we need to talk to the people. And it's a challenge for everybody. About half of the 140 submissions said that there was a need to do something about how we manage and how we distribute water, and we will be working with them to see what can be brought through. For example, there is talk about alliances across the state so that we cluster a whole stack of councils and they work together to see maybe on catchment boundaries to say how we can best manage the water resources that we have for that region. That's an idea that's come through. No decision's been made, and we'll talk to the local government about that. What they looked at in that inquiry were institutional structures. Are our local water utilities big enough? Because some of our councils, like yours, are pretty small, whether or not they have the expertise and the capacity to do what needs to be done. Governance structures, the regulatory structures, which are important. What is the best way to regulate local water utilities and ensure they meet the health and environmental standards? Pricing, and one of the big problems we have across New South Wales is skill and labour spread across the state. You need people who know the industry and the business intimately to be able to make the sort of decisions that need to be made into the future. I'll hopefully receive that inquiry in its formal state. They said I was going to bring it up on my first parliamentary day, which is next week, and I thought that's a bit rushed. We'll have a look at it the next time we come around, so hopefully by the end of the year. What I have said to the people is that, above all, what has to happen is that we have to approach these critical issues that challenge us all in a collaborative manner. Not one sector can solve our problems. Not one sector can solve what we need to solve across both New South Wales and Victoria and all the other states. It needs to be a collaborative approach to our water management, be it state, local, regional, private sector, agencies, whatever it is. It needs to be a collaborative approach and make sure that we make... it's got to go beyond political boundaries, it's got to go beyond all kinds of sectarial stuff. We have to be able to say, this is the problem, this is how we need to solve it, let's find the resources to do it. Because at the end of the day, we can't, as I said on the radio last night, you cannot play Russian roulette with water resources. You must ensure that the water is made available to the people who need it. I was asked yesterday about the embargo on water bores in the West. Well, I just can't keep allowing people to drill holes and suck out all the water that's underground when you don't have the science behind how quickly it replenishes, what impact it has on rivers, what's the benefit of doing that. We've got to have the science behind it, and that's why the embargo is in place. And hopefully we will all together, and I'm looking forward to working with your minister, Tim, as a colleague, because we actually do share... Who's got the river? Is it my river? Oh, good. I haven't got that deep knowledge yet. I've paddled down up the river, and I've camped on the river, and I camped on both sides. But we will be working very closely, and I'm looking forward to working with Tim and the team to ensure that we are one country, one group. You need water, we need water, and we must do what is best for the communities on both sides. And I look forward to, hopefully, the longest serving water minister in New South Wales, which at this stage needs to be 2 years and a bit. And hopefully that will be the case. Thank you for the invitation, and I hope that have given you a little bit of insight into what's happening in the state of New South Wales. Thank you.